May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I think there's a song by The Clash called Should I Stay or Should I Go? I could have researched this a bit better, but staying or going is often an option, isn't it? What do I do at this point? Do I stay or do I go? Well, here at the church, we love to welcome people in, don't we? It's great to see the doors open on a hot summer's day and in newcomers wandering in at all sorts of times, and to show them round this beautiful building and to show them some good Christian hospitality. Having a place means you can open the doors and invite people in. That's true in churches. It's true in our homes too. Being part of a church community is a particular privilege and joy because you can welcome people in, and it means much more than just opening the doors. It's welcoming people into the presence of God, into Christ's story. One of the joys of being a vicar, and you've probably noticed that I use this to the full, is inviting all sorts of people to come and use the church for all sorts of projects. One of my particular interests at the moment is seeing whether the Rochdale Naturalists take up the offer to use St. Mary's for a conference. Who knows? Naturalists, not naturists, Rod. Human hearts can be really hospitable, and we love being hospitable. But we're not always like that, let's be honest. There's a new film out called The Bookshop, I've just seen, with a woman, played by Emily Mortimer, deciding after her bereavement to open up a bookshop in a small Norfolk town. And there she does just that. But she's up against the organised rejection of some of the most powerful people in this small village. They don't want a bookshop. It's never quite made clear why they don't want a bookshop. I think it's because it wasn't the idea of the lady of the manor, as it were, the most powerful woman in the town. So people are polite but ruthless behind the scenes. And her only friend, this bookshop owner, is Bill Nighy, the broken, shy, reclusive old man who lives in a ramshackle house. Other people just let her down and betray her. It's based on a novel by Penelope Fitzgerald, and it brings to the fore this power of humans to reject and demonize. So we know about welcome, and we know about the power of human beings to reject and to be really unwelcoming. Maybe I shouldn't give you a spoiler. You might end up seeing the film, but there's no victory for this woman, let me say. She doesn't win. It's not a Hollywood movie. It doesn't all come right in the end, and she goes off on the ferry and says goodbye to the village with her bookshop burning down, in fact. But she leaves some sort of legacy where a young girl who helped her turns out that she wants to run a bookshop too. In years to come, she becomes a bookshop owner. So humans can be hospitable, humans can be rejecting. But let's move from human words in the library to God's word in our scriptures. How people receive God's word says something about their own hearts. In the Gospels, we hear many stories of Jesus being rejected and people not wanting to hear from him. Why do they do that? Well, that's a big topic to discuss. I guess Jesus presents God to them in a way they're not comfortable with. They perhaps lose their status and position with the way Jesus offers them a more accessible kingdom for all people. And there in the church of Corinth, in the readings today, we hear they are angry at the idea that God could be present in an ordinary sort of guy. A guy they know from the local town has got above himself. Who does he think he is, this Jesus? And for them, God is all about earthly power and status, and they don't want Jesus upsetting their boat. And so Jesus, we are told, could do nothing in their town, in that place, because of their unbelief. Jesus offers, but he cannot force, he just offers. And if people accept, then all be in good. If they accept and follow, that's it. Jesus is not Trump or Putin or all sorts of other leaders. He is offering freely. I don't know about you, I'm getting a bit tired of the heat now, especially in my cassock, my full wool cassock. The heat, this has been a long hot spell, hasn't it? We've not had this for a long time. At the back of our minds, we probably don't want to think about the question, but is this going to be a regular occurrence? Is this what climate change looks like? And yes, the scientists say it is something to do with that. Hotter summers, droughts, and of course wildfires, or also wetter winters, floods, and we've had those too. So these extremes are going to become more common. So with that in mind, as Wendy mentioned in the prayers, the synod today is debating about whether the church's savings should be invested, how they should be invested with companies that invest in fossil fuels, that are investing in what's causing the damage to the planet. And there's a debate going on whether you're more engaging and waiting for change, whether you're taking the long game, or whether you're more outspoken and you shake the dust off from your feet when the companies say, oh, well, we'll think about that. Because the church has some power with its investments. So the debate goes on. And of course, it's not quite about goodies and baddies, though it is, because we're all implicated in this, aren't we? We're all emitting carbon, and we're all part of the problem in our pension funds. And so some of my stipend, I think, is paid by investments from fossil fuel companies. So I'm benefiting. It's a difficult one. But there in the Gospels, we've got this choice between staying or going, getting engaged and stuck in the discussions, or stepping back and shaking the dust off from your feet. So how does a follower of Jesus Christ behave, whatever the issue, whatever the situation? Well, maybe we have to do both. Maybe it depends on the situation. That's for us to decide and to pray about, I guess. I remember when I was newly arrived at the University of Kent and I got my first bank account, I got a bank account with Barclays. I remember they had a lovely free pen. That was the attraction. So I had my Barclays bank account, and then I realized and saw there was all this campaigning against apartheid, and Barclays were big investors in the apartheid system. I don't know if you remember that. So I closed my account. That was in 1979. Apartheid collapsed in 1994. So it took a little bit of time for my actions to bear fruit. Of course, it's one person cannot do much. So what do we do? Stay or go, engage or discuss? When we find ourselves in a difficult situation, maybe you could bring to mind situations that are conflictual in your life or in our town. What do we do? Stay or go, get stuck in, or wait, or shake the dust off from our feet? Jesus sends the 12 disciples out and gives them clear instructions. And they're interesting, these instructions, and I think they speak to us today. The first thing to remember is those disciples were nothing special. They were just ordinary people. Just as Jesus was an ordinary person in one level, the disciples were fishermen and tax collectors. They were lower middle class. They weren't very special. And Jesus tells them to take nothing for their journey. No bread, no bag, no money. They are to enter each town in vulnerability, just as they are. They've got to depend on others. And people have to take them as they find them. And I think the message under the text is the disciples will challenge and will disturb. They are to do the word and works of Jesus. They are to cast out unclean spirits. They are to call hearers to repentance. They have a job to do. And of course, that's not always the popular thing to do. So they encounter some conflict, some resistance, and they are sent on their way packing. And Jesus says, you may have to just shake the dust off from your feet. There is this preaching of repentance, which isn't always very popular these days. But if you think about it, what the disciples are doing in love, what Jesus does to us in love, is says, I love you and I want you to change. I want you to be the best you can be. I want you to follow me. And if we really love someone and they're doing harm to themselves or the world or their families, then we want them to change. That's what repentance is about. And the call to repentance is to say, individually and to the bigger world, let us change, let us protect the planet, let us protect the poor, let us be nice to our wives and husbands and so on. For Jesus' disciples in the first century, it was a difficult and dangerous thing to do, but they went out with this great confidence in his kingdom, in the power of his word. So they may have decided to stay and get talking, or they may at times have had to move on and shake the dust off from the feet. But what those disciples did was driven by the same motive, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to engage with God as they found the people of God, and if God was absent or people were resisting the things of God, to move on and maybe come back another time. So for us, as we seek to serve him today, we have that encouragement to go out, to be confident, and to meet the Lord where we find him, in the highways and byways of Rochdale. Amen.